Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, coming to you on a Wednesday afternoon here on Facebook Live as well as our YouTube channel. Right now, I'm joined by my co-host, Jay Sonhalter. Jay, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm great, Bubba. Thanks so much for getting a great guest on today.
Absolutely. We appreciate you joining us on the spur of the moment, Jay. And right now, I reached out to this guy back in the middle part of June. To be honest, this is the first time I had heard of him, but I saw a lot of great stuff on social media via Clemson's head coach, Dabo Swinney. And right now, we'd like to welcome in a tremendous motivational speaker and author, Damon West. Damon, welcome in.
Hey, man. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me, Bubba and Jay. It's great to be on your show today. And look, I mean, y'all are right there in North Carolina. I was up there just last week, man. Beautiful state, man. Beautiful country. Love the mountains out there.
Absolutely. Like I mentioned, I'm about half an hour north of Charlotte, and Jay's in the Raleigh area. And I know you were up in the upstate of South Carolina and visiting with your good friend Dabo Swinney, who you've gotten to know very well over the last few years.
Is it safe to talk about Dabo with a couple of guys from North Carolina? I mean, is that really cool? I mean, we're gonna do that.
It's good with us. We're East Carolina guys, so we.
I was actually, Jay, you played for East Carolina, didn't you? I mean, so I was there for the game this year. Dabo and Kathleen invited me down, so I was there for the game at Clemson. They played East Carolina, and. I've got a friend that played football at North Carolina, at East Carolina back in the early 90s. Jeff Blake, didn't he play there?
Absolutely.
I was out in June. Jeff lives in Texas now. And they have a group of NFL football players that were all sitting around trying to find a place to work out. So they would have these like secret workouts, you know, and if you were in on it, you'd find out where they're working out. But we went out there and ran 7-on-7 with a bunch of the NFL guys. And they had, you know, college guys that were at home during the summer. But it's all these guys from the Houston area that play in the NFL and play Division I college football looking for a place to work out and run some 7-on-7. That's where I met Jeff Blake, man. Good guy.
How's your arm, Damon? You're a quarterback. You still got it?
I can still throw about 60, 65. Ooh. I mean, every time I go to a football program, I get out there on their field or on their indoor or whatever it is and drop them in from the 50, man, and just kind of blow these guys away. In fact, there's a video, Jay, of when I was speaking at University of Michigan State. Big difference, I'm sorry, between University of Michigan and Michigan State. Speaking of Michigan State, after I got done speaking, they had a practice, and I go out there and I start warming up with the quarterbacks. And Coach D'Antonio, who was the coach there at the time, he was watching me warm up. He said, hey, man, you've still got a cannon, man. And I was like, yeah, you know, prison preserved me, coach. And so we're watching this live drill. It's 11-on-11 live coverage drill. And the OC tells me, hey, man, get in there and run a play with my team. I want to see what you got. And I'm like, really, man, me? He's like, absolutely. So I chuck my phone to this GA, and I go out there and run this play. And I have no clue that the OC told the GA, he said, hey, man, hit record. I got a feeling something's about to happen. Guys, man, listen, if I had 100 more throws, I could not make the pass. And I had, it's on my social media pages. In fact, I repost it from time to time. At Michigan State, they call it the throw. And every August 17th, the staff has changed there, so maybe this August 17th will be different. But every August 17th, man, the day of the anniversary of it, I get messages from the staff at Michigan State talking about the throw. Guys, listen, man, I hit this streaking receiver going down the sideline. I mean, 50 yards on a dime. I mean, I've got rushers coming at me. This guy's live. This guy's covered like a blanket. Outside shoulder, Jay. I mean, nobody but my guy can catch it. Yeah, and I'll be 45 in October, man. So this is – yeah. But to answer your question, I'd love throwing the ball still. That's just something that's in your blood, you know?
Yeah. You're an athlete for life.
Yeah.
I saw that film that you're referring to, Damon. And just to give people the background on you and you see that mean green visor that Damon's wearing right now, the North Texas Eagles. So just – talk about you going back to the early to mid-90s. I know you played at North Texas, got hurt very early on in your career against Texas A&M and College Station. And I know you had a tremendous upbringing. I heard an interview today when you were on the Jim Rome show about a week ago, and just you were very complimentary and just talk about how well your parents did raising you. So just give people the background.
Yeah, man, and my parents did it really good. I grew up in a town called Port Arthur, Texas, which is down in southeast Texas, right where Louisiana and Texas meet on the Gulf Coast. And I still live in southeast Texas. I live in Beaumont, Texas, right down the road from Port Arthur. But, you know, I got into substance abuse at a young age, and I had a bad belief system. And, you know, my bad belief system at 10 and even 12 years old was, all I'm doing is drinking a little beer, smoking a little pot. I'm not hurting anybody. You know, I'm not even hurting myself. But I couldn't have been more wrong. I've got a lot of character flaws. But, man, I could chunk a football. God blessed me with a lightning bolt for a right arm. And I got a lot of breaks cut to me in life because I could play football. You know, we see that happen sometimes with football players. They get, you know, special treatment, preferential treatment, that kind of deal. But I was that guy. But I was a leader. And, you know, my teachers always told me growing up, you're either going to lead people to do stuff the right way or the wrong way. And I had no idea when they were telling me that, you know, later on in life where the story's going to go, how right they really were. You know, but back in the day, played ball, played quarterback, went to University of North Texas, became the starting quarterback there when I was 20. That lasted about three games into the 1996 season when I got hurt against Texas A&M on the third play of the game. I mean, third play of the game, guys. I mean, this is – I'm 20 years old, starting quarterback for a Division I college football team. You know, I really thought I had arrived. And the problem is I put all my identity, I put all my self-worth, my value into being a college quarterback, being that athlete. And, you know, I set myself up for a miserable letdown, and I did. But once I got hurt, I got into more hardcore drugs, you know, and my bad belief system. You know, all I'm doing is drinking a little beer, smoking a little pot. You know, I tell guys all the time in rooms I go speak to, high school, college, pro, that bad belief systems, man, they dog you out for your life. Man. And the longer you hold on to a bad belief system, the harder it is to get rid of. And the fact is a bad belief system is so hard to get rid of that it usually wins out in the end. And so that bad belief system after I got hurt in 96, you know, now I'm not drinking beer and smoking pot. Now I'm snorting cocaine. I'm doing ecstasy. I'm doing pills. I'm doing anything I can to change the way I feel. And graduated college in 1999 and went off to Washington, D.C. I became worked in the United States Congress. In 2004, I went to work for a guy running for president of the United States to raise money for him over the country. And after that, I moved back to Dallas, Texas to train to be a stockbroker for one of the biggest Wall Street banks in the world. UBS, United Bank of Switzerland. And it was at that job as a broker, Bubba, that I was introduced to methamphetamine for the first time. And meth was a game changer, brother.
Sorry, some technical difficulties there. Unmuting myself. But so you talk about that addiction you developed and how just making those decisions at a very early age, how that – just spiraled out of control when football was taken away from you and just not finding your identity in something more than the game itself. And that's something you hear. I've heard other speakers from, you know, that have spiraled out of control and gone down the wrong path as well, just say that that their identity was not in the Lord or something more than the game itself. And that's very interesting to hear you say that.
Yeah, you know, I tell people, you know, fast forward a little bit in the story to today, coronavirus and what's going on in America. You know, what's happened this year? No one alive can tell you what's going to happen next, you know, because the events are unprecedented and we're seeing stuff unfold and forces unfold that are around this thing that are just kind of mind-boggling. But the truth is you don't have a lot of power over those things. And that's where a lot of people get in trouble is when they want to try to flex their own power or force their will on the things that they don't really have power over. And then it comes into what do you put your value in? And a lot of people during the coronavirus, and this is going to happen more and more, you're going to see people lose their jobs. Guys, look, man, I get coronavirus is bad. And look, my wife has an autoimmune disease, and she's very high risk if she gets it. So we wear masks everywhere we go. But the truth is there's a lot of ways to die. You know, coronavirus is one of them. Poverty is another one, you know. You know, hunger is another way to die. Substance abuse is another way to die. And these are all going to be side effects that are going to happen with the coronavirus stuff that you're going to see happening more and more. And I tell people all the time that prison is a relative thing. And I, you know, in my story, I went to a maximum security prison. I served 7 years and 3 months, fought for my life in there and found out how to become that coffee bean. The coffee bean is an important part of the story. But part of that is also putting the right value into things in life. And today, I'm a criminal justice professor, Bubba. I teach a class at the University of Houston downtown called Prisons in America. I went back and got my master's in criminal justice. I teach a class called Prisons in America. And so I tell people all the time that you can take what I'm about to say from a guy that's been to prison and lived in prison, or a guy that teaches about prison now. But the hardest prison in America, the toughest place to do time, is the prison of your mind. Because I meet more people out here in the free world that are locked up than I ever did when I was in prison, Bubba. And that's because people are imprisoned by their thoughts and by their things more than steel bars and barbed wire and concrete. And when you put your value, your self-worth, and things that are material, you know, and money, your job, your car, your home, these are important things. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a speaker right now, so, you know, I don't have a job for the most part right now. But I don't put my value in that. I put my value in three things, Bubba. I put my value in my faith. First of all, my identity is wrapped up in my faith, the relationships I've built along the way, and my ability to serve other people. And there's no pandemic. There's no economic downturn. Hell, there's no prison sentence that can take away one of those three things.
And Damon, I know we've got about 30 minutes, and your story and just your background is amazing. And we could talk all day about everything, but go back through when you went to prison, and just the coffee bean mindset and that story, and then what your faith when you're in prison did for you to get you, you know, kind of in the place where you changed your life.
Yeah, so right after my sentencing hearing, May 18th, 2009, a jury in Dallas County sentenced me to life in prison for organized crime for my role in a bunch of meth-related burglaries. No one was ever home during this burglary or physically affected, but a jury nonetheless sentenced me to life in prison, mainly because they hated me. They were so mad at me, and I don't blame them. They were looking at a guy that had all this privilege and opportunity in life. And so right after the trial was over, my parents get one last visit with me. And it's in a little room with a bulletproof glass between us. And my mom's telling me that debts demand to be paid. She said, you've got a big debt to pay the state of Texas. She said, but you owe your father and I a debt too. And she's reminding me of how they raised me. She said, so your debt when you go to prison is that you will not get in one of these white hate groups, one of these Aryan Brotherhood type gangs, because you're scared because you're the minority in there. She's like, you were never racist in race, and you won't start now. So I went around Dallas County Jail. I had 2 months after my trial before the prison bus was going to pick me up, and I asked all these guys that had been to prison before, how will I survive prison? And every guy in there, Jay, is telling me the same thing. Man, you have to get into a gang. You can't avoid the gang. You're 33 years old. You're going to the worst part of the prison system where everybody in the building you live on has life. You got life, man. Get to a gang, Wes. But there was this one guy, Jay, this older black guy named Mr. Jackson. And Mr. Jackson, he's what you'd call a career criminal, man. He's been to prison 4 or 5 times. He's probably in his 60s, has gray in hair. But he was the most positive guy I've ever met in my life. He's always smiling. So Jackson comes up to me one morning. And he says, Wes, I've been watching how you're dealing with these knuckleheads and these dummies. Talk about you have to get into a gang. He said, do not listen to these fools. But let me tell you what prison's going to be like. And that's when he told me, Jay. He said, I want you to imagine prison as a pot of boiling water. He said, anything we put in that pot of boiling water is going to be changed by the heat and the pressure inside that pot. He said, I'm going to put 3 things in that pot of boiling water and watch how they change. A carrot, an egg, and a coffee bean. And Jackson walked me through it. He said, the carrot goes into prison hard, but the water in the prison changes the carrot, turns him soft. He said, the carrot got beat, he got robbed, he got raped, and he may have gotten killed. He said, you don't want to be the carrot. He said, the egg is a shell that protects him on the outside, but inside, that soft liquid core, his heart becomes hardened. He said, if your heart becomes hardened, you're incapable of giving and receiving love. He said, if you're incapable of giving and receiving love, you've become institutionalized. And you won't come back as someone your parents recognize because your eggshell has swastikas tattooed all over it. And he said, the coffee bean, though, the smallest of these 3 things, he said, small like you, West, had the power to change the entire atmosphere inside that pot. He said, the coffee bean, when put in that pot of boiling water that we call prison, changed the water into coffee. He said, the coffee bean was the strongest of these 3 things and the smallest of these 3 things, small like you, West. He said, so what I'm trying to tell you is that if you want to walk around negative all the time with a frown on your face, you want to look hard, what you'll actually do is attract that same kind of negativity because people put out energy, he said. Everybody puts out energy, negative or positive. Whatever kind of energy you put out, you attract back. He's telling me about the law of attraction. He said, but Wes, if you walk around that prison with a smile on your face and you let those guys know they're not getting to you, no matter what they do, they can't get to you. He said, you will change that prison from the inside out. The best part about it is the other coffee beans in prison will find you because of your energy. And the last thing Mr. Jackson told me before I got on that prison bus, he said, West, go out there and go be a coffee bean. And that was it, Jay. That was the message, you know, be a coffee bean. right? The prison's a pot of boiling water. I mean, and the jacks are shooting me straight. That means the power's inside me. And that's what it is, man. The coffee bean message is about the power being inside of you. And when I got to that maximum security prison, man, it was a baptism by fire. It was rocking and rolling. Fights all the time. The first 2 months, I tell people I got in 36 fights and lost 75% of those. But I won because I kept showing up. And you asked me a question about faith. And here's a good answer to it. About 6 weeks into this, man, it took me 2 weeks to get through the white gangs. 6 weeks into it, I'm still fighting the black gangs because everybody's trying to break you and make you go with your own race. Race is such a big deal in there. And I go down to the chapel, and there's this little old lady in the chapel named Miss D. Doucette. She's a chaplain volunteer. And I'm telling her that I don't think I can do this anymore. I'm thinking about killing myself. And Miss D is just this sweet little old lady. She's like, you know, you can't do that, Damon. You can't kill yourself. And I'm telling her, you know, I'm like, you know, if God, how can God create such an evil place, such a nefarious place like prison where it's so evil? I'm telling her the things that go on around me. And she's heard it all before. She knows what prison's like. And I'm questioning my faith. And she tells me, she's like, Damon, it's okay to have questions of faith. That happens to people. The Bible's full of people that have questions of faith. But here's the answer to the question of faith. She said, here is faith in a nutshell. She said, if you're going to pray, don't worry. But if you're going to worry, don't pray. She said, you cannot have it both ways. If you want to let God do his thing, let God do his thing. But if you want to take over and drive that car, she said, I want to caution you. The last time you drove the car, you parked it inside of a maximum security prison. So choose, but choose wisely. But it never left me, Jay. If you're going to pray, don't worry. And if you're going to worry, don't pray. And I got on God's back inside that prison. My mom reminded me before I went to prison of this prayer plaque that she had on my wall. And the prayer plaque was, you know, footprints in the sand. So she reminded me to get on God's back while I'm in prison. And that's what I did, Jay. I got on God's back, and it took me a while, but I became that call.
Yeah. And you know, when you know, people are going through their normal day and work's tough, or, you know, if you're playing a sport and you're having a bad day, there's so many people, you made the comment, there's more people that have locked up and closed mindsets or negative perceptions out of prison than maybe in prison. Yeah. Those people that are, you know, maybe just negative or down or depressed or, you know, having a bad day and complaining. I mean, I know if I have a bad day at work, you know, or just a bad day, you know, sometimes I get down. How would you say is the best thing for those people to change their beliefs, change their attitudes, and get the positive mindset?
I think that if you have a regimen that you get to on a daily basis, and I mean, I try to keep mine. I work out in three areas every day. Some way, somehow, in these three areas, spiritually, mentally, and physically, I'm going to get in shape every day. And my spiritual workout is the first thing and most important part of my day. I start off in the morning with prayer and meditation. I tell people all the time, prayer is when you talk to God, and meditation is when you listen to God. And my prayer to God every morning, and this sets me straight, my mind straight, Jay, and I've got to stay in this mind frame all day. I say a two-part prayer that I learned when I was in prison. I got into recovery. I'm an addict. I need a program recovery. I say the same prayer. God, put in front of me what you need me to do today for you, and let me recognize it when I see it. And that's it, Jay. I don't ask for anything else. I got to trust it. If I take care of God's needs of me, then he'll take care of my needs of him. Maybe not my wants, but my needs. And then I try to feed myself the right stuff mentally. I try to read the right books, read the right stuff. I try not to spend too much time on social media or watching the news and let them scare the hell out of you on the news. You know, feed myself the right stuff because we are what we eat. It's not just about food. But speaking of food, I try to take care of myself physically, get enough rest, get a little exercise, eat the right foods. And at the end of the day, I want to be able to tap back into God again, because here's the deal. Throughout the day, I'm going to have problems. I don't wake up, Jay, being the coffee bean sometimes. I wake up and sometimes I'm the egg, sometimes I'm the carrot, especially during the coronavirus stuff, man. This stuff can really play on your mind. But I know that I can turn my day around. I can start my day over at any time, Jay. All I have to do is find a mirror. I go in a mirror in my house, whether it's 10 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night, and say, hey, dude, you don't have to live like this. You know, you don't have to live like that. That is a choice to be negative. That is a choice to be like that. Go out there and go be a coffee bean, Damon. I tell myself all the time, go be a coffee bean. But you can start your day over anytime you want, Jay.
How do you do that as – so let's say for you personally right now, obviously great mindset, great everything, and you interact with people that aren't, and maybe you can't tell them your story. How do you try to impact them, whether that's in a moment, whether that's in a time where you're talking with them? How do you impact other people?
if I have just a few minutes with somebody and I know they're struggling, I want to try to get through to it because I have these five different ways of being a coffee bean, but I go straight to number four because number four is about the things you do and do not control in life. There's only four things that we control in life. And I learned this in recovery whenever I was in prison. We have these recovery meetings and we start off with this beautiful prayer called the Serenity Prayer. I don't know if you've ever heard the Serenity Prayer, but God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Even if they're not a Christian, I can go into this with them and show them. So the guy that showed me this, he drew a line on the chalkboard in the chapel. And he said, that line represents God's line, Damon. And God's line is so big, it's bigger than that chalkboard. It's infinitely long. And he said the first part of the prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. He said, the things you cannot change are on God's line. And every time you try to grab something on God's line, you hurt yourself and you hurt others. He said, stay off of God's line. Then he went and erased a little inch out of God's line. And he held his fingers up an inch apart for the whole group in AA to see that day. He said, if God's line is infinitely long, your line is to scale. You get one inch of that big line. And he called that little one inch line humility. Because he said, humility is defined as being right sized, Jay. He said, when we're right sized, then we can be useful to others. He said the second part of the prayer, the courage to change the things I can. He said the things you can change on your little one-inch line, there's four of them. God gives you four things that you can work on, four things you can change, the four things you control, what you think, what you say, what you feel, and most importantly, everybody's going to see what you do, what you think, what you say, what you feel, and what you do. Then he said the last part of the prayer is the wisdom to know the difference between the big line and that little bitty line. So I tell myself many times a day, and I tell people if I get, you know, just 3 or 4 minutes with them, ask yourself if what you're worried about is on your line. And if it's not on your line, then it's on God's line and let God take care of it. But if you can try to focus your energy on those four things, what you think, say, feel, and do, because those are the four things you can only impact anyway. If you spend any energy on things besides those four things, you are wasting your energy and potentially inviting negativity into your life. It's not worth it. Let God do his thing and you do yours. You get four of them.
Damon, you talk about getting 3 or 4 minutes with someone there within the first year or two being paroled. So you had the opportunity to cross paths with eight of the best college football coaches in the country. And you got 1 minute with Dabo Swinney and really put a sales pitch on him and were able to get your foot in the door, even though not immediately. So just tell our viewers about that and that opportunity.
Man, it was January of 2017. I've been out of prison 14 months. And a buddy of mine sneaks me into the Toyota Center. He's with the media in Houston, KHOU. Sneaks me into the Toyota Center for the Bear Bryant Coaching Award, Coach of the Year. 8 best coaches in the country will be there. And Bubba, I'm going around talking to all these college, you know, Penn State, Ohio, I mean, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, USC, they're all there, the big boys. And I'm meeting all these coaches, and every one of them is turning me down, man. Don't call us, we'll call you. You know, I'm striking out. 7 of the 8 coaches down, and all I want to do is go home, drive the 90 miles to Beaumont and go home. But that competitor voice kicks in, man, and it's like, hey, look, I'm not going anywhere to that last coach who tells me no to my face. So I stalked Dabo Swinney throughout the rest of the night, man. He was the most in-demand guy. They had just won the national championship that night, 2 days before, and I pounced on Dabo. He didn't even see me coming. And I gave Dabo this terrible elevator pitch. And at the end of that, he asked for my card. I gave it to him. And it felt like it was a no. I mean, it really did, Bub. It felt like he told me no. But, man, 4 months later, the DFO at Clemson gets in touch with me. He says, hey, Dabo met you in an awards show. He'd love to have you come speak to the team. Do you have August 1st open? I'm like, dude, I got every first open. What are you talking about? So we go, and I go and speak to the Clemson Tigers, defending national champions on August 1st. 2017, and when my presentation was over with the Clemson football team, Dabo's got me up against the wall, and he's telling me, man, that's the most amazing story I've ever heard. He said, I love the Be a Coffee Bean message. He said, have you been to Alabama yet? I'm like, no, man, I've been to Clemson, Dabo. How am I going to go to Alabama, you know? He said, well, we'll see what happens. I just text Nick Saban. So when I landed in Houston the next day, I had a voicemail and a text message from the DFO at Alabama. It says, hey, we'll see you in Tuscaloosa in 3 weeks. You are on. And just like that, Dabo kicked open the door of college football. He called other coaches, got me in other places. But a year later, I got a phone call from a guy named John Gordon. And John Gordon's a huge motivational speaker and author. I know who John is because I follow him. But I'm like, how do you know who I am, John? And he told me. He said, Dabo Swinney. He said, Dabo can't quit talking about you and that coffee bean message. He said, let's write a book. We'll call it The Coffee Bean. It'll be a bestseller, Damon. He said, the world needs the coffee bean message. And this is back in 2018, man, before coronavirus even came around. And we did, man. Everything John said came true. The coffee bean became a bestseller. Dabo has now taken the Be a Coffee Bean message. And, I mean, that is part of Clemson's culture there now. They've got shirts and everything. Their motto last season was Be a Coffee Bean, you know, because college football is one big pot of boiling water, Bubba.
Right. And you mentioned John Gordon. I'm familiar with his book. I've read the Positive Dog. I'm a teacher and a coach, and we read that in my workplace. But I was also familiar with the Energy Bus. I have not had the opportunity to read it yet, but I know that had to be awesome to be able to partner with someone in the business that's so well established, such as John Gordon. And just talk about I know how many different programs across the country have you had the opportunity to speak with now? Because it's been a lot more than just Clemson and Alabama.
Man, Bubba, I've probably been to 55, 60 programs, you know, to speak. I mean, and not just football anymore. Sometimes it's other sports. And I've gone into professional sports, done in the NBA. I mean, so it's – Dabo Swinney has opened up an entire world for me, man. He and John Gordon together – took my career as a speaker and author and put it into a different atmosphere, man. I mean, but I've been to most of the major college football programs in the country. I'm always looking to go to other college football programs to speak. I mean, I love going in front of athletes. I think I have a unique background to speak on a lot of topics that not a lot of speakers talk about, you know, but yeah, I love sharing the message.
And such a huge lesson in patience, perseverance, and all those things as far as continuing to persist and knock on the door. You never know when you're going to get in front of the right folks and that are going to open the door like you're saying.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You never want to be afraid to ask the question. Always ask, man. You never know. You know, if I'd have left the award show that night in 2017 because I knew Dabo was going to tell me no because all the other guys told me no, then you would never have heard of Damon West. You may never ever heard of the coffee bean. And, you know, I would have missed my chance at my Dabo Swinney in life. And if you don't take the initiative to ask that question or try that little bit or work out a little bit harder after practice every day, or put a little more effort in what you're doing, then you may miss your Dabo Swinney moment too.
And a term I wanted to ask you about, because I know it's something you're obviously not proud of, that goes without saying, but that expression or the term, you were identified as the uptown burglar. Uh-huh. So with that being the case, you didn't run from it. You embraced it and you owned it and you used that to motivate you each and every day, I'm sure, to continue doing what you're doing and making a positive impact.
Yeah, and it's one of the lessons my dad taught. My dad was a sports writer for 50 years, and he wrote about everything that, you know, was on his mind. And after my trial was over, he came back down to Port Arthur, and he noticed that people didn't know what to say to him. It was very public what happened to me. My crimes were very public. And so people wouldn't look him in the eyes and wouldn't talk to him. He's not built like that. So he wrote an article about it. He laid out there everything I had done, wrote everything bad about me that could be written about me, and everything that could be said bad about them, although they did a great job raising me. But he took everybody's weapon away from him, and he put it all on the table. And that was the lesson he told me when I was getting out of prison. You want to go out there and you want to share this message. He said, you know, put all your stuff out there when you're sharing your message, man. Make it part of your platform. Turn your liabilities into an asset. And I think that, you know, with God as my guide, I've done a really good job of being able to do that, because that part of the story, you know, I can't escape the uptown burglar. That's a consequence of my decisions that will be with me for the rest of my life. If it's going to be with me for the rest of my life, if that mugshot's going to be with me for the rest of my life, then I might as well own it and embrace it and use it as a lesson for other people so they don't have to make the same mistakes I did.
Absolutely. And so just talk about now, and we talked a little about this in the pre-show before we went live, just how – with everything that's been going on the last 4+ months, just talk about the way you've gone about your business, whether it's via Zoom and so forth.
Yeah. So when the coronavirus hit, man, I mean, I've been wiped out. I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, didn't have everything I had for the next 4 or 5 months when the coronavirus started in March canceled. And we're talking about, you know, that's my business. I'm a small business owner, and that's it, man. It wiped me out. But about day 2 or 3 of the coronavirus, you know, pandemic in March, you know, I was sitting around thinking, there's what, like what Jay and I were talking about, you know, waking up and trying to find positivity. And I could feel myself becoming that egg. And so I got in touch with a friend of mine named Lisa Spain, and she has a huge Zoom platform, and she's a consultant. And I said, Lisa, we got to do something. So I put the call out on social media and told coaches, teachers, you know, sports teams, whatever. Get in touch with me. We'll do a free Zoom call. I'll give my presentation away, my coffee bean presentation away for free, because I truly believe, Bubba, that the world needs the coffee bean message right now. And so that's what I've done for the last 4 months, is pretty much giving it away. And I'm starting to transition into, you know, paid speaking events again, which is great, because, I mean, it can't come at a more, you know, dire need of time. But I spent 4 months giving it away, because I think the world needs that message right now. And what better way to live your coffee bean message out than to go out there and be a positive force for change, be part of the solution instead of part of the problem, and give away something when the time necessitated it, instead of just sitting there and saying, well, if you can't pay me, I can't give it to you. No, man, I gave it away.
Right. And I think that says a lot about you. And like you're saying, your heart, and that you're in this for the right reasons, is you're not trying to, yes, you obviously want to make money, that goes without saying, but you're in it to change lives. So people don't go down that same road.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jay, are you there? You have a question?
Yeah. I was just gonna follow back on Damon. What's your schedule look like coming up here with football about to start? And who are you speaking to? And how do we get you to speak to East Carolina?
Listen, it's interesting you asked that, Jay. So my schedule is kind of in flux with the college football world. I've got some presentations set up at a lot of SEC schools, a couple ACC schools, but everybody's like, "Hey, we're good to go. We're just kind of in a holding pattern right now." So we'll see. I mean, but yeah, look, if you can pass all my information, Jay, to East Carolina, I've never been there. I would love to go do a presentation there. Just let me know, man. If you could pass my number on along to the DFO or the head coach, that'd be huge, man. And that's how this whole thing is progressed, right? It's been a grassroots thing from the beginning. Dabo Swinney has been big on it. This other DFO that's retired now, a guy named Randy Ross. Randy was with, you know, Alabama for a while. He was with SMU. Then he retired from Arkansas football team. But it's just been one DFO to another, one head coach to another. So, Jay, if anything you can do to get me in front of East Carolina, I'd love it.
Yeah, me and Bubba, we'll make some contacts over there, and I'll talk with the coaches over there.
I
just sent you a Facebook friend request, so I'll message you, get your contact. We'll make things happen over here.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And in addition to being an author and motivational speaker, talk about what you have going on, because I know you're also a professor at the University of Houston. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So yeah. go ahead and tell our listeners about that and their criminal justice program.
Yeah, man. So I, you know, when I got out of prison, I went back and got my master's in criminal justice. You know, I figured I got probably a PhD from the School of Hard Knocks, going to prison and living there for about 7 years and 3 months. So I call that my PhD, but I went back and got my master's so I could teach at the college level. And I teach a class called Prisons in America. And I think it's so important, guys, to go in there and tell these rooms full of guys, you're looking at a room, you know, about 70, 75%, 80%, you know, blacks, the other is white for the most part, whites and Hispanics. When you go into one of these football rooms or athletic rooms, and I like to tell these guys that, look, man, the realities in the American criminal justice system are that there's not just one criminal justice system in America. There's more than one. There's a black one, there's a white one, there's a brown one, a rich one, there's a poor one, there's one for cops. And it just depends on where you fit on that spectrum that kind of determines what kind of justice you're likely to receive, because you're not guaranteed that just because, you know, you're of another race, you're going to get treated a certain way. But the realities show that a lot. And I think that it's important, because when I go in these rooms and talk about that, the black guys in the room will hear a white guy saying what they already know, but it's being confirmed. But the other white guys in the room hear something that they don't normally hear from a white guy coming in there and saying. And I think it opens up the discussion. And that's the way that we have a broken criminal justice system in this country. But we've got the greatest country in the world. The United States is the greatest country in the world, but we can always be better. And that's what when I talk about this stuff, I tell them I don't have all the answers to fixing the criminal justice system. But I know one of the answers to fixing the problems with race in America is that we have to have a systematic program of listening, man. People have got to start listening to opposing views and opposing sides. And that's going to be an important process. And once we listen, we have to be effective at the grassroots level to change what's going on in this country. But we have the power to do that, guys. This is the greatest country in the world. And if anybody can do that, it's Americans. We can do this. We can all band together. We have won world wars together. We can do this. We have got to pull our heads out of our butts on a lot of issues and get together and start living together as Americans again.
Damon, we really appreciate your time this afternoon. If you would, go ahead and tell our listeners and viewers here on Facebook and YouTube Live, or if they're going back and watching this archive, where they can get your book and the information as far as your website and so forth.
Yeah, my book, The Change Agent, which is my autobiography, and my other book, The Coffee Bean, with John Gordon, it can be found anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles. My website, DamonWest.org, has a link to buy the books. We got another book coming out in the fall, coming out in November, called The Coffee Bean for Kids. So if you like The Coffee Bean, you'll love The Coffee Bean for Kids, for your kid that's in elementary school age. And I think it's going to be an important book for kids, especially with them dealing with the changing world of school and how we're looking at going back to school right now, which is kind of crazy in itself. But look, man, the whole point is to try to go out there and make the most of the cards you're dealt. You know, make the most of your life and be a coffee bean and work on those four areas that you control: what you think, what you say, what you feel, what you do. And if you need any inspiration, man, my social media platforms, Twitter and Instagram, at DamonWest7. Follow me. I'm always putting something out every single day, man. I start the day before 7 a.m. There'll be a positive message up there because that's what I'm about. I don't talk about politics. I don't get involved in controversial stuff. I just want to be part of the solution and not part of the problem, Bubba.
What's the youngest group, just out of curiosity, that you've spoken with? Have you I'm just curious, I teach middle school. Have you spoken with any kids that young? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I tailor the presentation up for the different groups. I mean, but I've spoken in I've read parts of The Coffee Bean to elementary school kids all over the country. I've gone to elementary schools all over the place. I've spoken to junior high kids all over the country, you know, and you change the message up. And as you get older with your group, with your audience, you get more details of the story. Yeah, you know, so high school football players, high school athletes, high school students get more of the story about what's going on in prison. By the time you get to the college level and pro level, you're telling them about the bloody, real fighting aspect of prison and the pain associated with that. Because the realities of going to prison, the realities of making poor choices, is that we don't do this in a vacuum. We drag everybody that loves us in there with us. I didn't just lock myself up when I went to prison, Bubba. I locked my family up too, my mom and my dad. They came to see me over 150 times in prison. So I get into more of these details and emotional details that, you know, once your emotional maturity gets past a certain level, you can handle more of the stuff. But, I mean, elementary school kids, when I'm talking to them, we're talking about the coffee bean message as it pertains to being kids. They don't hear anything about prison. And the junior high kids, they start hearing about drugs and alcohol and the poor choices I made because they need to hear that. That stuff's in their face when they're in fifth grade now. So the message graduates as they get older.
Like you're saying, I certainly hear my students speak of things and say things that I had no clue about when I was their age. So you couldn't be more right as far as how much they need this message.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I think that's what it is, man. You know, talking about the different ways to become a coffee bean, the fifth rule about being a coffee bean is that your past doesn't define you, because your past is your lesson, man. And our past, we're supposed to teach other people with our past and learn from our own past, right? But anytime we can use that as a teachable moment, that's great, man. And, you know, these kids right now are faced with a lot of stuff. They've got these bombs in their pockets called phones, man. We didn't have phones growing up. You know, you and Jay and I, when we were younger, we didn't have those bombs in our pockets. Those things are loaded guns in their pockets, man. They can take them into different worlds and bring people into their world. So they've got a lot more in front of them than we ever had.
No doubt about it. Well, Damon, we certainly appreciate you being so generous with your time and coming on the program. And I know Jay, you have something to say.
Yeah, no, thanks so much, Damon. Such a great, great talk. So much to learn. I was taking notes. I was learning while we were talking.
Oh, thanks, Jay. I appreciate that, man. Jay, Bubba, look, man, y'all, when they let me go on November 16, 2015, on a lifetime of parole, the parole lady asked me, she said, if you could be anything in this life, she said, give it to me. And just, if you could be remembered for being anything in this life, She said, give it to me in just one word, go. And, man, I had her – because I was a coffee bean, I had her answer for her, and I fired it back at her real quick, and I said, useful, ma'am. I just want to be useful, and I can be useful in this prison, or I could be useful out in that world finding those coffee beans. And so y'all gave me an opportunity to be useful today, and hopefully somebody out there needed to hear this message because that's what it's about. And I, like I said, I don't play around. That prayer I say in the morning, God, put in front of me what you need me to do today for you and let me recognize it when I see it. I'm looking for things. And this was on my list today, guys, so thank you for the opportunity to be useful.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. And we're definitely proud of everything that you're accomplishing and that you will continue to accomplish. And we certainly wish you and your family nothing the best there in Texas. And maybe we'll have you back on the program sometime down the road.
You got my information, man. Hit me up. See y'all later.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
See y'all later. Bye, guys. Bye.
There, Damon West, tremendous motivational speaker and also author, wears many hats. And Jay, you can't say enough about the commitment he has to using his tragedy up to that point. Fortunately, it didn't continue to spiral out of control. He got the help and just owned up to the mistakes he had made and then was willing to use those mistakes to better other people. And you can't help but have tremendous respect for someone who does something like that.
Yeah, just amazing story and something for everybody. You know, we all get knocked down at some point in life, you know, no matter what it is. And, you know, how do you respond? How do you get back up from that is, you know, says so much about, you know, the person you are. And obviously such a great person and such great motivation and so many learnings that he just talked about with him changing his life and turning it around to help other people.
And one of the things that stood out to me just when he was talking about how when he went to speak to Clemson and that was really the first opportunity that he had the opportunity to deliver his message on that large of a scale and to the national champion of the FBS football. So he certainly made the most of it and it opened a lot of doors for him. And when he said that Dabo Swinney pulled him aside and basically cornered him in the room that night and told him that he had contacted Coach Saban and told him that he needed to get into contact with Damon. That said a lot because, as you know, having played yourself, coaches bring in different public speakers and so on. And for him to captivate a room of anywhere from 100 to 150 people says a lot.
Yeah, it's amazing what word of mouth will do. And obviously, a lot of programs are bringing him in because he can make such an impact talking to the team.
Absolutely. Well, Jay, we appreciate you joining us once again on the Spur of the Moment this afternoon for this conversation with Damon West. We also had an excellent time catching up with your former teammate, Court Shankweiler, this morning on 50 Pirates in 50 Days as we're nearing the midway point of that special series where we're catching up with former East Carolina football players. So definitely go back and check that out. It's archived right here on Facebook Live as well as YouTube. And also the audio only is on SoundCloud as well as Anchor. Jay, if you don't have anything else, we'll go ahead and get out of here. Again, make sure you please click the subscribe button. We'd appreciate that. That way, anytime we upload new content, you're aware that new content has been released. And otherwise, we will be talking to you on Thursday evening when we catch up with former East Carolina Athletic Administrator Lou Workman, who served in a variety of capacities during his 3.5 decades in Greenville. But for my co-host, Jay Sonhalter, I'm Bob Rosenbaum. You've been listening and watching the Sports Executive Podcast on Facebook and YouTube Live. Go Pirates!